The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. As we head into hour two today, it's a delight to welcome back to the show my good friend and our good friend, Sam Stone. Sam Stone is usually in hour three with us on Thursdays. We're putting him in hour two just for today as we're going into a three-day weekend here on radio. And I like sometimes, if I can, to use the third hour going into a long weekend to be a little beyond the news, if you will, focus on things a little more durable than the daily give and take that is our normal fare. So, Sam, thanks for agreeing to be with us an hour earlier today. Much appreciated.
Seth, absolutely pleasure, and I love that tradition, quite frankly, because we do that a little bit on our show also when we're heading into the holidays. I think it's critical that people disconnect from all this stuff from time to time and focus on things that actually matter much more to them.
On Fridays, I try to do my third hour with a rabbi in town named Rabbi Pinchas Alush to get us into a Sabbath kind of frame of mind. I've been kind of consumed by a thought a professor of mine once wrote, famous political philosopher Leo Strauss. Remember Alan Bloom, Closing of the American Mind? He was his teacher, that guy, Leo Strauss.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
He had this line in the 50s, and I thought it was so good. On that point, the reading of the morning prayer has been replaced by the reading of the morning paper. Not every day the same thing, the same reminder of man's absolute duty and exalted destiny, but every day something new with no reminder of duty and destiny, knowing more and more about less and less. Isn't that beautiful? That's kind of what we're trying to fight up against, push back against with this thought, I think.
I think that's exactly it. Yeah, I think that's gorgeous.
So thank you. And thank you for allowing me to do it as we go into Good Friday.
Well, and actually, while you say that, I was just thinking of something that somebody sent me, and I'm trying to pull it up here. But basically they were saying the same thing from a technology versus humanity perspective.
Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, the challenge is all the greater now, of course, because of that. Go ahead if you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll try to pull it up on my phone. Someone sent it to me a few days ago, and I'm not sure I remember exactly where it was sent, unfortunately.
No worries.
But you know, it was something that was written in the 1960s.
Uh-huh.
Here it is.
Okay.
Here it is. 1971, eminent historian Arnold Toynbee.
Yes, sure.
Wrote a book titled Surviving the Future. He expresses concern about the inequality of man's scientific and technological advances compared with his spiritual progress. He refers to this inequality as a morality gap, convinced that this gap has been growing wider and that technology has been making cumulative progress while morality has been stagnating. Mm-hmm. Dr. Toynbee observes, science has never superseded religion, and it is my expectation that it never will supersede it. Science has shown no signs that it is going to be able to cope with man's most serious problems. It has not been able to do anything to cure man of his sinfulness and his sense of insecurity, or to avert the painfulness of failure and the dread of death. Above all, it has not helped him break out of the prison of his inborn self-centeredness into communion with some reality that is greater, more important, more valuable, and more lasting than the individual himself.
That's the same thought. Isn't it interesting? And Toynbee would have been just a hair younger than Leo Strauss, but these guys from that generation, Will Durant, the other great historian, he wrote about these kinds of concerns. Isn't it interesting, these great world-class scholars, the type that we really don't see much anymore because scholars now know more and more about less and less, these broadly educated, so they all warned us about this stuff. I could add in historians like Boorstin, who is the Librarian of Congress, very famous Librarian of Congress. They all warned us about this, and we heeded it no mind, to the point where we were talking the other day, when last we visited, of the world we now subject ourselves and our children to, which is a world of digital fentanyl, right? I mean, that is what not paying attention to them has led to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, no, that's absolutely it. And as we're stepping into yet another evolution of that technological age with AI,
yeah,
nobody is asking these questions.
That's right. That's right.
And the closest you get is Elon Musk, whose concerns are perhaps more technical and less spiritual, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
But the fact of the matter is that this is a part of the discussion that should have happened long before AI was born.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah. It makes you kind of think of that quote from Ian Malcolm, played by Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. You spent so much time figuring out how you could do it, you never stopped to think about whether you should do it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's an interesting conundrum, if you will, in that all this technology is making life palpably more convenient in many ways,
sure,
more
sure.
connected in many ways.
Sure.
And yet at the same time, people are lonelier
yeah.
and more disparate and distant than they've been.
Yeah.
It's really a technology of selfishness in many ways.
Yeah. I mean, it's also true from another world-class scholar who died about a year or two ago. He said all the greatest of things can be turned into the worst of things. It goes back to Aristotle. Aristotle said that man, when in concert with justice, is the highest of all animals. Outside of justice is the worst. And I know that's taking it quite a different step in a sense of the notion of justice. But the point is, reason, if abused, can be the worst kind of abuse. And if nurtured, can lead to the kinds of civilizations that we still kind of pay homage to. And technology is that same kind of razor's edge. It can take you one way or it can take you the other. It can take you to the greatest knowledge, access to knowledge that man has ever known, and it can be used for perversion.
Yes. And is.
And is.
Frequently.
And is. And yeah. And maybe we're catching up too late. I mean, there's these works by Jonathan Haidt about this stuff and what this technology is doing to our children, and I'm totally on board with it. But I have to say, Sam, and I don't know if you agree, all the talk we engage in about the mental health challenges of our youth, the mental health deficits of our youth, it's in our adult population too. It's doing it to adult heads too. Now, I get the child's brain is obviously developing and flowering and much more malleable, but it's so powerful, it's corrupting developed adult brains too.
It absolutely is. And, you know, one of the things you see with social isolation, this seems like a random tangent, but it's actually kind of relevant.
Yep.
There was a little X video by Mr. Beast, who, you know, people may be familiar with, very famous YouTube channel, does all these things where people can win large amounts of money from him.
Yep.
And he had one where he bought a grocery store. And he paid a guy $10,000 a day to live in this grocery store by himself. He had to eat from the store, and every day he could get his $10,000 by selling $10,000 worth of goods from the store. So there's a, you know, gamesmanship aspect to it, right?
Yep.
And this guy, you watch it the first week or two, he's having a blast. He's, you know, he's in this new world, exploring every inch of it. By day 40, which is about when he ended, I think day 45, which is pretty impressive. His mental health was clearly a disaster. This guy was on the edge of a breakdown, right? And I think this is what we are seeing in the broader population. As an adult, yes, your brain is formed. And yes, you're more resistant to outside forces, but you're certainly not immune to them.
Yeah.
And the kind of societal isolation and negativity that is being spawned by these technologies is really detrimental to mental health, really detrimental. And we're seeing it all over the place.
And it doesn't even have to be technology, although technology is the great temptress here. During COVID, there was just a study came out a day or two ago, not that we needed one, but showing the rates of alcoholism went through the roof during COVID. surprise, surprise to that. And you didn't need technology when you put either people in recovery or people on the edge or people susceptible into isolation, take away their work, take away their job, take away their school. You do all this, take away their exercise, take away all that stuff. Surprise, surprise. Alcoholism enters the... Sam, I got to take a quick break. And you know, I didn't do a proper intro for you. Sam Stone is a political consultant in town. He hosts his own radio show, Breaking Battlegrounds. He referenced it. Heard here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And you can follow him on Twitter X or what we call Twix at Sam the Paul. Sam the P-O-L. He and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Sam Stone is my guest. Yes, we're going to get to the story in Thailand in a moment. Sam, don't worry. It's not just humans that can be the worst of all creatures. We're going to get to that in a moment. Don't you worry.
That's too good not to talk about.
We'll get to it.
You know what? I want to touch on one thing related to what you started, unless you have something else.
No. Go with it. Go right ahead.
During the lockdown here.
Yeah.
Especially the second one when it went on quite a long time. I at the time had a rather expensive sports car. I took to doing DoorDash deliveries where I was literally losing money because of the cost of driving my car.
Oh, you mean you were doing deliveries?
Yeah.
Oh, neat. Yeah. Neat. Okay.
And I did that because after about a couple of weeks, I started to find myself, you know, mentally deteriorating.
Yeah.
I needed more human interaction, and that was a way to go get it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that event triggered a mental health crisis of staggering proportions.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, today's mental health experts, by and large, are not ideologically or educationally equipped to actually deal with it.
You're totally right. Oh my gosh, you're totally right. I have been probably, I don't want to guess where you are on this, so I won't speak for you, but I have been kind of an outlier in the conservative movement when it comes to such things as involuntary incarceration, involuntary treatment, involuntary help for people, you know, when they don't have the mental capacity to do it for themselves. I've just always been on that wing of it, until a mutual friend of ours said to me, Seth, I'm on board, but think about who you're sending them to.
Yes.
Think about the group that you're sending to. It's the group that put them there in the first place.
That's unfortunately exactly our point.
Yep. I pulled up the study during the break. The rate of alcoholism skyrocketed during COVID more than in the past 50 years. It rose more than 45% during COVID. You know, a lot of us warned people about this, warned that this was going to happen. We were shunned, ignored, and censored. And now COVID is gone, but this is here. And we're going to be dealing with it for a very, very long time. This is what Dr. Phil said to the ladies on The View, right? He said those school closures did more damage long term than the virus ever could have done. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. Remember when he stood up to them on that?
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I would add, I would go further than he did.
Yeah.
And I would say that when you look at the number of people whose lives are going to be cut short by suicide or mental degradation causing their life to end earlier, which we know is a real thing, right?
Yep, absolutely.
That effect is going to far outstrip the number of people who died of COVID.
Yep, absolutely it will. Sam Stone is our guest, host of Breaking Battlegrounds. You work in a lot of different public policy and political areas, so you have staff that work with and for and under and around you. I have young David, and do you know what I caught young David? Let me tell you about young David. This is an entree to another area I want to get to.
My favorite part about young David
is
that he is the oldest young man I've ever met.
I know. That, talk about another razor's edge, another irony of language. I know. He is the oldest young man I've ever met. But to your point, the reason I was a minute or two behind in getting to you is I couldn't find him. Where was he? He was in another office listening to old Richard Nixon speeches. That's what young Dan was doing. He was listening to old Richard Nixon speeches. And I was thinking, how can I make this relevant? Here's how I can make it relevant, because I use everything, Sam. I use everything. No part of the cow goes.
As you must.
Yes.
You're on the air for 3 hours a day.
No part of the animal gets unused. It's a warning I issue to people who talk to me. What they say to me, it might end up on air, maybe without attribution, but it'll get used. Richard Nixon was an interesting president who hired a bunch of Democrats, actually. Daniel Patrick Moynihan was one of them. He hired Moynihan as a policy advisor. And I was thinking about that in the context of Joe Lieberman's passing, because Moynihan and Lieberman represent a part of the Democratic Party that, with Joe Lieberman's death, is finally the death of the Democratic Party that used to be. There are no Democrats like that anymore. Joe Lieberman was primaried in his final Senate race by his own Democratic Party. And I think something of the Democratic Party and something of the country died a little bit with Joe Lieberman yesterday, Sam.
I would agree. I would agree 100%. I think, you know, when you had West Virginia Manchin step out,
right,
between his exiting the scene and between Lieberman's death, it really is the death knell of that era of Democrat.
Yep.
Which, if you listen to that era of Democrat, they sound an awful lot like this era of Trump Republican.
You play a 1992 speech by Bill Clinton today without telling people who it is and changing the tone of the voice, and they'll tell you that's a Republican.
Yeah, I would love actually to see someone. Well, I sort of wouldn't.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
Occam's razor here, but yeah. I would love to see someone do that with AI.
Yep, yep.
Put Trump's voice on a Clinton speech and see what the reaction is. Because I guarantee half the press would not recognize that that's what it was right away.
Oh, you would make national news if you could figure out someone to do that, Sam. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. That's a fabulous idea. Get AI to put Trump's voice on our 1992 Bill Clinton speech.
Thematically, the only difference, thematically, there's not that much difference. The only difference is delivery.
Maybe delivery and maybe trade.
Yeah.
Maybe delivery and maybe trade. But.
Oh, there are some policy areas, but in overall.
But overall, the Democratic Party was with Trump on trade in those days. Where Trump is on trade today, Bill Clinton was kind of the outlier. The NAFTA stuff was kind of an outlier. PNTR was an outlier.
The funny thing is that if you look at the positions of Trump's that Democrats, you know, freak out about the most, whether it be, you know, foreign policy, foreign trade, Ukraine, all these things. He is where a Democrat center was 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
Democrats have abandoned all the things that I respected about them.
You know who else did? You know who else did? Because you and I talked a little bit about this in months past, in shows past. Tuesday. You know who else abandoned it? Robert Kennedy Jr. Can we pick up on that when we come right back?
Because
we thought for a brief shining moment that Camelot, you know, of Camelot, we thought a brief shining moment, but then Nicole Shanahan. Sam Stone and I will be right back. Sam can be found on Twitter X, Twix, at Sam the Paul. He has his own radio show, Breaking Battlegrounds, heard here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and he and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Sam Stone is my guest, political consultant in town, joins us most Thursdays, usually in the third hour, but second hour today. Sam, we were just talking about the death of the Democratic Party as we grew up in it anyway, and we thought maybe Robert Kennedy Jr. was trying to call us back to that. He had made statements about that in the previous months about, you know, the Democratic Party has abandoned the party of his dad and his uncle. And then Nicole Shanahan, and you know,
yeah. I mean, look. First, I guess we should probably explain who Nicole Shanahan is.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people don't know her. She is very wealthy because she is Sergey Brin, Google co-founder Sergey Brin's ex-wife.
Correct.
She came up as a Chinese immigrant.
So half of a third of Google, the old Eddie Murphy or whoever comedian, half ex-wife means half of a third of Google is what she is or something.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. Okay.
And she was a patent lawyer and, you know, kind of, you know, minor entrepreneur before marrying Brin. And then after she got divorced, which was, by the way, precipitated by rumors of her having an affair with Elon Musk.
No kidding. Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was actually part of what precipitated that. You know, she has become a big philanthropic player, but also an extremely far left one with some sort of radical ideas. The only area... You know, she clearly identifies with him. She believes her daughter has autism due to vaccines,
okay.
So she's connected to him in that regard.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of her other stuff, she is way left on most-ish other issues.
She's a Marianne Williamson Democrat. She's given money to Marianne Williamson.
Yes.
She did fund, I guess, his Super Bowl ad. And maybe, I mean, maybe he just thought he needed that kind of financial payback. He doesn't get anything from her other than money and ideology. If it's money, then he's the sellout that we all thought he wasn't. If it's ideology, then he's the lefty we always thought he was. I think. I mean, I know I'm being hard on him, but I think that's right. I got to
tell
you.
It's kind of both.
Okay.
I think it's kind of both. I do think that his campaign, after a big spurt of publicity, Democrats had really coordinated. And look, Democrats are very good at knowing how to turn off the spigots to a candidate.
Yes, they are.
Right?
Yes, they are.
And they clearly have done that with him.
Yeah.
And it's a very expensive thing to try to run a third-party campaign for presidents. Obviously expensive regardless, but just the ballot access portion of it is incredibly costly.
Yep.
Yep. Right. So I think that's a big part of it. And it does the sellout stuff. You know, when you have someone whose policy interests are things like reproductive senescence,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what the heck that is.
Yeah. All right. We have a couple of minutes before we go into the next big segment. You want to talk about your monkey situation that you...
Oh, goodness. This is great stuff. And folks, I put it up on my Twitter at Sam the Paul, P-O-L. You got to check this out. This is just insane. So Colin Rugg has a new report out today. Rival monkey gangs taking over Thai tourist towns.
Yeah.
Forcing police officers to arm themselves with slingshots and tranquilizer guns.
Yep.
The monkeys have taken over Lopburi, about 90 miles from Bangkok. One team successfully captured monkey gang leader Ai Krow,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
who is well known for its aggressive behavior. The monkey was hauled off in a cage after being shot by the police with a sedative dart. And apparently these monkeys have learned to identify the tranquilizer gun and go, you know, running and hiding whenever they see it. So they're playing a game of monkey and mouse or with the cops here.
You got to see the video. You've got to see
the video. You have to see it.
Sam, remember we were talking earlier a few segments ago about all these great scholars that warned us about what would happen if we didn't put a restraint on technology. We had this with Planet of the Apes. We were warned. We were warned in 1963. Right? We were warned about this. I got to tell you, we just didn't heed the warning.
Though?
Yeah.
Was it since then that the morning got ruined by like half those movies are great and the other half are unwatchable? And it just ruined the message. Like everyone forgot the central message because they're like, wait, that movie was terrible. Then you don't remember anything else.
But they can do this. They you had mentioned money and politics. And when we come back, there's this big fundraiser Joe Biden's doing tonight with Bill Clinton, aforementioned, and Barack Obama at Radio City Music Hall, $25 million hall. I want to talk to you about that when we come right back. Sam Stone and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Sam Stone is my guest, host of his own radio show, Breaking Battlegrounds, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., here on 960 a.m. The Patriot. He is Sam the Paul on Twitter X, Twix, political consultant in town. We were talking about money and politics, Sam. Tonight in New York City, Joe Biden, along with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, will be hosting what I believe is a record-breaking single highest dollar campaign event of all time, with a single evening haul of $25 million. Tickets go up to range from $225 to $500,000. I think at the highest level you get probably the kinds of foods you and I don't know how to pronounce, but you get a picture with the former presidents taken by Annie Leibovitz.
Those foods?
Yeah.
There's nobody I've ever met who likes that stuff more than a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I know. This was the party of the... This is Lunch Bucket Joe, right? Blue Collar
right,
Joe?
Yeah.
500,000.
Joe, man of the people and the truffle shaved fennel.
Yeah, shrimp vandaloo. Do you remember the story? It's 04 campaign, John Kerry went into a Wendy's with John Edwards and their wives, and they made sure everyone was taking pictures of them at Wendy's, and then they get on the bus, and a campaign reporter noticed that they had it catered with by some fancy French restaurant with shrimp vindaloo and all these other things. Wendy's for the cameras, but, you know, the catered French food for the Democrats once the doors behind the bus closed, which I just guess didn't close.
Is that like Bernie Sanders' State of the Union masking?
Yeah, what was that? He had his mask off right before the cameras went on, and then he put his mask on. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because the virus comes on when the cameras go on, right? That's
right.
What it was?
Yeah. It's those Klieg lights, man. They just spread COVID everywhere.
Or Kamala Harris laughing before she's being asked about a question about someone's death. Bill Clinton
Well, look,
had that.
Hey, I think the risk to someone's life from the Kamala Harris cackle is real, so...
That's a fair point. That itself, yes, a fair enough point. By the way, you contrast the Biden fundraiser in New York today with Donald Trump's visit in New York today, which was to commemorate the falling of a New York police officer, Jonathan Diller, who was shot and killed by a career recidivist criminal, by the way. Young cop was killed, and he was in there to commemorate the man's life with his family. He was killed, I think, on Monday, and they had a funeral and wake today. That's what Donald Trump was doing in New York City. Joe Biden will be in New York City raising $25 million from people who can afford $500,000 tickets to be with him. It's
you
an
know
interesting
what I will say
contrast.
About this fundraiser? Yeah. I mean, look, we know these elections are stupidly expensive
Here's
the thing. I actually sort of respect that hall more than I do most of the money Democrats are raising, because the quote small dollar donors they have with Act Blue, there is literally zero doubt in my mind at all that is a billionaire money laundering operation, where you have like some random grandma in Iowa who's theoretically made 27,000 donations in a year. James O'Keefe exposed this. There's other folks who are exposing this. Democrats' funding of their campaigns now is incredibly, it's almost certainly illegal on every level, except this type of event, you know, which they can go roll around. They are now the party of the $500,000 dinner elite, and have been for a number of years. Most of their voters just don't realize that that's who the Joe Biden, Barack Obama Democrats are catering to.
I don't object to fundraising for politics. I've never been in the campaign finance reform camp that is usually meant by campaign finance reform, which is restricting how much people can give. I've never been there. But I do believe that one might want to ask what someone thinks they're buying for $500,000 when they put it into a campaign. That does worry me a little bit. I don't think it should be legally restricted, but I think some questions should be asked.
I think it worries me more with Joe Biden, given his nefarious dealings, than it does with most people, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I do think there's an issue there, right? One of the things I've always said is like the $5,000, now it's $5,800 or whatever, max donation, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, there's no politician who's being bought for $5,000.
Correct.
that's just a joke,
correct,
right? Like
correct.
In campaigns that cost millions.
Correct, correct.
To think that somebody's going to be bought by $5,000 or
correct.
20 or 50 is silly.
Correct.
But 500,000 is hard to ignore.
Yes.
When someone who put 500,000 or a million or 10 million behind your campaign calls and you don't give them what they want, you can expect that there will be repercussions if you're running again or for your party or for your political protégés. There will be a penalty and a consequence. And so that is a real concern.
Well, yes, and there are other ways around it as well, ways around legal restrictions as well. For example, Hunter Biden's paintings selling for
right.
millions of dollars. And who's right. buying those? And do those – yeah, I mean, and we were supposed to – they were supposed to have some kind of blind transaction. Turns out it wasn't blind. The White House knew who was buying those paintings. Of course they did.
Well, and in a sense, like, of course they knew. Because Hunter knew, right?
Yep.
You're selling
yep.
them to somebody.
Yep.
I mean, and in that sense, it's actually worse to say they're going to be blind because you're saying we're just not going to disclose it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. But just a couple minutes we have left, Sam. People say immigration, people say economy, top two issues. Donald Trump goes to New York to highlight the slain officer whose family we mourn for. Is crime a big one, too, or is it wrapped up in the immigration thing? It shouldn't be because it's its own thing. It's part of the it's one of many problems with immigration, but it's also its own thing. Is crime a top issue for Americans right now, too?
It's not as much as it should be.
Okay.
I think it is regionally in certain places,
okay.
but the impact of those is sort of limited by social leftism, right?
Okay.
Like New York, Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. As much as people there literally feel shame for wanting to enforce the law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's holding back, but the issue, but I do think it's a significant one and underlying it ties to the border. Obviously the last few cycles, it's been very clear that pretty much the people that decide elections are suburban women. And they decide them based on whether they feel safe or not.
Okay. Okay.
Whoever makes them feel safe is getting those votes.
Well, it's a symbol of another, I guess, like immigration. It's a symbol of a failure of the government. That's what it is. First
yes.
and foremost, because the protection of the innocent, I think, really is the first duty of the government. And to the degree we can't provide that is the degree with which our government is a failure. Sam Stone, thank you very much, sir. Maybe I'll see you around somewhere this weekend. I'm going to go. You going to go to the Ahwatukee Parade, Easter Parade on Saturday?
I may well be there. Yeah.
All right. I'll see you there. I know you like a parade. We'll have a hot dog.
I love a parade.
You love a parade.
And Easter parades are great fun.
They are a lot of fun. All right, Sammy. Thank you, brother. To the Seth Leibson Show, portions of which are brought to you by our good friends at Y Refi. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com. You can call them as well, 888-YREFI-24. And you can visit them in person. They welcome that. Their offices are here in Phoenix, right on Chauncey Lane. If you do visit them, you won't be asked to sign a thing and won't get a sales pitch. They leave that up to me. What is the sales pitch? Why Refi has a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. With Y Refi, you are in control. You can turn your income on or off. You can compound it. With Y Refi, there is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. With Y Refi, there are absolutely no fees. Of course, you get a monthly statement as well with no surprises. Check them out, investyrefi.com. Just thinking about that song, Cheeseburger in Paradise, that would have been good music for Sam and me. And you like food.
I love cheeseburgers.
You like food.
Do you know
what
that Jimmy Buffett's restaurant Margaritaville, which I visited in September, right after his demise, is closing?
All of them?
I don't know if it's all of them, but for certain, it's the one, the very prominent one, right there on the Las Vegas Strip.
Well, It's hard for me to get sad about this.
Hard for you to get sad. That's my one and only tie to Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville.
You brought me some nice paraphernalia from it, for which I'm grateful, and it's over in the, what would you call my desk? It's not really a desk. It's more of a...
A museum?
A museum or a shrine of all...
A tourist attraction.
Yeah, a tourist attraction of all things. We weren't sure that the suits upstairs would, when they came in, would approve it, but I offered to move it, and they said, no, keep it. Keep it. Don't move the Roman Coliseum. It's fine. It represents something.
No, we'll just build an identical one in Nashville.
I'm not sad, I'll tell you, for this reason. I mean, I hate to see something close, and I hate to see people out of work or anything like that. But I always thought it kind of, in a way, reduced the song itself to a commodity of sorts. Does that make any sense? I guess it's what the objection was to making the Bible. I guess the Bible apprehensible and readable after the printing press. I don't know. I just, you know, Margaritaville is more of a frame of mind and a mythical place more
frame
than
of mind,
like Atlantis. Yeah. Like there shouldn't be a hotel called Atlantis, which there is. Have you ever been there?
No. Yeah. Isn't that an island in the Caribbean?
Well, it's okay. We have a lot of teaching to do here.
Oh, yeah.
Teach talk, I guess they call it.
No, that's the other station.
We have an interesting kind of hour coming up. I hope. A little different. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.